This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Was a song before they put Diana Ross's name attached to Diana Ross and the Supremes. It was just called the Supremes back then. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We reign supreme for an hour at least. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us. It is Wednesday, January the 17th. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, Stone Washington of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us, and we're going to talk about how the Federal Trade Commission's stance on breaking up biotech firms could prevent life-saving technology. Wow, stay tuned for that. And two former Republican presidential candidates now say it's time to coalesce around Donald Trump. We will tell you all about that. And here is a big, big story. The Supreme Court is going to take up a case that could dramatically shrink the power of unelected bureaucrats. And it has to do with fishing, of all things. So stay tuned for that as well. And we have a good, I think a terrific ultimate top 10, the top 10 U.S. states that actually gained the most people last year. What states do you think they are? Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop, Overcash Plaza, Dunedin. Guys, I have never found a better place to get a haircut at a better price than Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call first for your appointment. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. And Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree pruning, tree removal, stump grinding, anything to do with trees, I've used them. I can guarantee you, you will be pleasantly surprised. Great price. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, two presidential candidates, one from this time around and one from the last time around, are coalescing around Donald Trump. Vivek Ramaswamy is urging two of the three remaining GOP hopefuls to get the hell out of the race. He wants Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis to go away. He made the remarks during an interview on Jesse Waters last night on Fox News. He said, I think Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley would actually at this point do this country and this party a service by stepping aside to make sure that we are focused not only on nominating Donald Trump, but getting this country back and reviving those founding revolutionary ideals. Another one that said it is our friend down in Texas, and where did I put his name here? I'll find it. But anyway, the former presidential candidate from Texas, the senator Ted Cruz. That's it. I'm losing my mind. Ted Cruz says it is time for everybody to realize that he is going to be the candidate. He says, I look forward to supporting him. So there you go. It looks pretty good, does it not? The last time we spoke, it was on Monday before the results were in on Monday night in Iowa. And Donald Trump, he took about 51% of the total vote. That's pretty good. The second place spot went to Ron DeSantis. But he was about, he was almost 30 points behind Donald Trump. And then about two plus points behind good old Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for anybody else. It looks like Donald Trump's looking good. Now, in New Hampshire, which comes up in a week, or is it Monday or Tuesday of next week, I think it is, that's the first real primary, and you are allowed to change your party status and go and vote in the other primary if you want. So a lot of non-Republicans may end up voting in that one. And I would suspect the more non-Republicans that actually vote in the Republican primary in the Granite State will vote for Nikki Haley. It's going to be tough, I think, for good old Ron DeSantis. Where is his path to win at this point? By the way, did you know that both CNN and MSNBC decided not to air Donald Trump's victory speech Monday night? They actually decided to cut him off. How's that for being a journalistic, for journalistic integrity?
Well, listen, actually, they downplayed it, too.
Oh, they did, sure. Yeah. Rachel Maddow.
Richard Maddow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Richard Maddow, MSNBC Trump hater, said the channel could not air, quote, liars. No, lies. Lies. That's what she said. Can you imagine saying that? She said, the reason I'm saying this, of course, there's a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision. She went on to say, airing Trump's, quote, untrue statements live on TV hurts MSNBC's brand. I'd like to know what their brand is, by the way.
Well, CNN doesn't...
That's MSNBC, but go ahead.
Well, MSNBC and CNN, they don't report lies unless they're holding up a mirror.
There you go. And over at CNN, speaking of them, Jake Tapper interrupted Trump's speech. Did you know that? Just as Trump was starting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Trump was saying, we're going to seal up the border because right now we have an invasion. We have an invasion of millions and millions of people that are coming into our country. I can't imagine why they think that's a good thing. Tapper at that point started speaking over Trump's remarks. He says, Donald Trump declaring a victory with a historically strong showing in the Iowa caucus. He says, if these numbers hold, the biggest victory for a non-incumbent president, blah, 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 blah. He says, here he is right now, under my voice. You can hear him repeating his anti-immigrant rhetoric. They just, you know, they can't even wait for the doggone thing to be over. And they're already putting down Donald Trump on those two stations. That's all you got to know. That's all you got
to
know.
They are, I'm trying to think of a word that's stronger than frightened. That he is going to be
terrified, paralyzed,
all of the above. I mean, all of the above. And I was trying to pull up the clip where
Jake Tapper,
not Jake Tapper, Cuomo.
Oh yeah,
where he's actually flipped. He's actually said he doesn't. He actually said nothing. He doesn't mind Trump, but he says Trump's been in office before. Are we gonna blow up? No. Is he going to ruin the economy?
There you
no.
Go.
Will I like him being in office? No. But if it's between him and Biden, I think that the country would be safer. I'm trying to pull that up.
Okay.
Because I was shocked.
Yeah, coming from a Cuomo, either one of them.
Yeah.
Former governor or the one that was, I think he was on CNN for a while.
Yes, well known that was fired from CNN.
There you go, right. All right, let's take our break. I can't wait to talk with Stone Washington. We're going to talk about the anti-merger philosophy of the Federal Trade Commission and how it could lead to endangering lives.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday. It's cold here in Tampa Bay. My goodness, I was driving in this morning to the station. It's 47 degrees, Ed, 47 degrees outside. Now, we don't have it bad at all, but relatively speaking, I can't remember the last time it was that cold and I was driving in. That's the way the ball bounces.
You know, we get that crawler at the bottom of the news or the, whatever TV program you're watching, called a crawler. This is information.
It's called a Chiron.
Well, whatever. And usually it's for, like, you know, severe storms, hurricane watch, blah, blah. On the bottom, it's got wind chill factor. You know, shelters now open.
For here?
Yes.
Yes. No kidding. Yes. We actually had a wind chill factor?
It's called a wind chill advisory.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, we are so, you know, spoiled.
It gets under 50 here, people get serious,
yeah.
You know?
You're right about that.
You know?
You're right about that. Well, all we have to do is look northward. We feel better. But anyway, we are delighted to have Stone Washington join us. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on free enterprise. That's what we're going to talk about with him. Court of Appeals, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, has issued a ruling upholding a decision made by the Federal Trade Commission, which would stop a merger between two biotech companies. Now, the situation here, and Stone will tell us about it, may prevent life-saving innovation. Stone, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me on, Paul. Appreciate it.
It's absolutely our pleasure. This is such an important issue because it seems like these antitrust, you go all the way back to in the history of antitrust, and the idea being, well, that we don't want companies to become too big, because if they become too big and they become big monopolies, they're going to scare away other companies. But, you know, nothing could be further from the truth, in my opinion. But anyway, let's get on with this particular. Tell us a little bit about the background, if you would, Stone, on this decision by the FTC.
Yes, certainly. Well, it began with a biotech company called Illumina. It was a very successful producer of next-generation sequencing, or NGS, technology. And they had a subsidiary called Grail that later spun off to be its own company as it was developing a revolutionary multi-cancer detection software. So it was a software capable of detecting, I believe, over 50 different forms of cancer early on in just like a single blood sample. And so while it was developing that technology, Illumina was trying to raise enough venture capital to be able to send this technology quickly to the market to get to as many patients in need as possible. And when it eventually did raise enough capital, it tried to reacquire Grail and bring it back into its employ. But the FTC saw that as being, in its eyes, anti-competitive, thinking that it would quash out competition amongst other developers of early detection cancer development software. And they invoked the Clayton Act to try to prevent them from, or prevent Illumina from reacquiring Grail. And this case went through the FTC's own court system, their administrative law court system, and it actually brought about a really notable victory for Illumina. It was the first time the FTC's administrative law court ruled in favor of a private litigant and not the agency. I think it was the first time in 25 years. And so they broke the FTC's winning streak, but the commissioners were so disgruntled about this that they ended up overruling their own administrative law judge and then handing themselves the victory anyway. So the FTC, the commissioners ruled in their own favor, but Illumina appealed the matter to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, where just recently, about a month ago, they ruled in favor of the FTC, citing that they believe that there was anti-competitive concerns about the deal.
Gotcha. Yeah, it gets a little, and we go into the weeds a little bit, which I'm glad you did, to kind of give you an idea of the logic or illogic, you know, behind all of this stuff. But let's be honest. I think it was Milton Friedman that said the only entity that can really create what you want to call a monopoly is the government. The government ends up creating the monopoly. If you leave things in the free market, as an example, let's say that with these two biotech companies, and they want to merge. Presumably, they want to merge because one needs the capital of the other to be able to continue providing this life-saving blood testing program that tracks these various cancers. They need money to do it. They need capital. So they decide to go ahead and they do this. In the long run, they'll have extra capital to continue. Companies know best what they need to do to continue to survive and to profit. And if you've got these bureaucrats that sit like in the FTC, unelected too, and they decide, no, I think that this is going to be bad for other you know what? When mergers occur, it actually, in some ways, opens up the field for other companies to come in. The less regulation you have, on these companies, the more it will attract others. The more regulation that you have, stopping companies from doing what they need to do, I think it intimidates. Does it not? It intimidates other companies to be created.
Yes. That's very true. And yet you actually see that with the recent news we had with the, a judge blocking the JetBlue acquiring Spirit Airlines, that actually, if the judge had allowed the merger to go on between those two airliners, it would have actually opened up the door for smaller airliners to compete with the larger ones, and it actually leveled the playing field better, contradictory to what the FTC would want you to think. So you're right, they don't have a good job of really explaining, like, if their perceived monopoly would be harmful to the market. They try to just push this anti-merger agenda, which is inspired by the larger agenda that the Biden administration is trying to push. And it's many times they're breaking up deals that could have a lot of potentially great public benefits. And like we see with the Illumina Grail case, if they allowed the vertical merge between Lumina and Grail, that would have opened the door for revolutionary cancer detection software to let countless numbers of patients know what type of cancer they had early on, and that's necessary for doctors to treat them before it would devolve into a fatal outcome. Because many times, stopping cancer comes to just knowing when it's like what type of cancer it is and isolating it early on, providing early treatment, and then that will really help a lot of people survive in the long term. So but the FTC didn't seem like they cared about the long-term public benefit and understanding the fact that Grail could only produce this in the market in an efficient manner if Illumina had acquired them, because they had that specialized technology and
right.
the capital to push this.
Right. We're talking with Stone Washington. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about, in fact, he wrote a piece in on the CEI website. If you go to CEI.org, you can find it. When the FTC's anti-merger goals overshadow the prospect of saving lives. In the article, Stone, you mentioned that Illumina's attempt to acquire Grail, had it been completed, Grail would have been able to produce this product for use by cancer patients. So now they're not able to do that. So what happens if we're not able to advance that kind of technology? Because they're not able to have the funding to proceed. I mean, this is kind of a scary scenario. Now, is there a chance that this will be appealed to a higher court?
Yes. So, unfortunately, a day after the decision was rendered by the Fifth Circuit, Illumina announced that it would officially divest from Grail, and they also decided that they didn't want to appeal the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, even though I personally feel like it would have had a good chance of getting reviewed by the higher court, and certainly the Supreme Court would have looked at the Fifth Circuit's court with great scrutiny. There is still a chance that, of course, even if Illumina is not going to be able to merge with Grail, Grail's technology will still be placed on, I think, the open market. I think the Illumina is working on kind of making sure that it's at least available to other competitors or other people who could maybe benefit from pushing this product on the market. But the sad thing is, we're probably going to see a much more delayed push of this breakthrough cancer detection technology because we don't have Illumina's manufacturing apparatus and the capital that we need to push this on in a quick manner. So who knows how many? I think like in 2022 there was about 1.9 million people who had cancer diagnosis, who knows how many people would have benefited from this.
Of course,
had this technology would have got out quicker.
Absolutely. I'm going to ask you about another case that is making the news right now. The Supreme Court is going to hear a case which will basically decide, it could decide in the long run that unelected bureaucrats are not able to continue to hold the power that they hold. It has to do with fishing boats. Are you familiar with this case that we're talking about?
Oh, yes. Yes, it concerns Chevron deference. Yes, it's the Loper-Bright versus Raimondo case.
I think that's right. Whether Atlantic herring fishermen must pay for federal officials to board their vessels to monitor the catches and collect data, is that the one you're referring to?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes. Yeah. This could be a landmark decision. The Supreme Court's going to hear a pair of oral arguments on an issue that they say could dramatically shrink the power of executive agencies to interpret and enforce federal laws. And so actually the oral arguments just started a little while ago on this whole case. But, we talk about how unelected bureaucrats, and I think in this case, they were forcing the fishing boat companies to pay for a monitor of some sort on the boats rather than, in other words, they want to monitor the catches, the fish that are caught, to make sure that they're doing it according to Hoyle, I suppose. But now they wanted to charge the boats and the boating companies something like $700 a month to put the data or put the people that would, that would monitor all of this on board, right?
Right, right. Yeah, it's a really onerous sea monitoring program that has a cost of $710 per day. And it was dealing with the fishermen were arguing against this act called the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation Management Act, 1976, which argued that it didn't authorize the National Marine Fisheries Service to create this monitoring requirement. And and they kind of dealt with an issue of Chevron deference to the agency, the current agency, interpreting this 1976 act differently than when it was rendered about
right.
50 years ago. And so this deals with the issue of whether federal judges should just defer to how an agency interprets a statute, even if it interprets it differently than a prior administration within that same agency. And it's really, really an important issue.
Yeah, indeed. And I said $700 a month. It's $700. It costs, the fee can exceed $700 a day. This is what the owners of the fishing vessels are saying. And often exceed the money earned from their catch. And, I mean, this is where, you know, common sense just seems to go out the window, you know? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Stone, I want to thank you so very much for joining us. Two very important cases here. I hope we will have an opportunity maybe to have you back down the road.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Our pleasure, Stone. Stone Washington, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Catch his article on this, by the way, if you go to cei.org. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we got a lot going on. Did you know that there's a little bit of white residue on Hunter Biden's gun pouch? Guess what it was? We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
A chilly Wednesday in Tampa Bay. I kind of like it. I came from up north, you know. And so every once in a while we get this kind of weather. Not a lot. When it gets into the 40s during the day, not a lot, but every once in a while we get it. And so in my own strange way, I think I will enjoy it. Now, we talked earlier on the show about Ted Cruz and Vivek Ramaswamy now saying that we need to rally and coalesce around Donald Trump so that he wins the presidency. But we have somebody else. And this was a surprise to me, but Ed That's got the clip on. This is Chris Cuomo, CNN's very liberal Chris Cuomo. And Ed, why don't we play what Chris Cuomo had to say?
Look, for me, again, we survived a Trump administration. Would we survive another one? Yes. Yes. I don't think there's any greater risk to America with him than with Biden. And for people who are now going to attack me and say, what are you talking about? Trump is like this crazy man. Well, look, you know, as Patrick says, the data is the data. Nobody was trying to kill us when Trump was president in a way that they're not now. If anything, there's more hostility. And you can have reasons for that any way you want. I'm just saying, existentially, I'm not afraid of a Trump presidency. Existentially, I'm not afraid of another Biden presidency because, unlike many people in America, I believe that the country is much stronger than any individual leader. We survived the Russia thing. We survived January 6th. We survived having Biden as a gaffe machine. We survived Congress going after each other and doing nothing for the rest of us. We survived these things. Are we better for it? No. Should we be doing things differently? Yes. I think it happens. I don't know when. I don't even know why. But, you know, in terms of who I'm going to vote for, I would really have to see where we are at that moment in time. And
so you're open to a Trump vote?
I am always open. And I'll tell you this. People say, oh, you've never voted for a Republican in your life. Wrong. And not only have I, the first vote I ever cast was for a Republican.
That was Chris Cuomo. You know what? Now he's no longer doing his show on CNN. I doubt he would have said that.
Well, no, he's on News. Was it Newsmax?
It might be Newsmax. If it's Newsmax, it's much more down the middle, or even leaning conservative sometimes.
It's down the middle to the left, just a little.
A little to the left. Okay.
But he's whatever club he was in, he's getting kicked out of.
Yeah, I'll bet he is. By the way, we've got a guy that for sure is going to be a Trump supporter. That's Andrew the Master Barber joining us. And Andrew, I guess you were watching the returns on Monday night. It took about 30 minutes for Fox News to, from the moment that they closed up shop at about 8:30 on Monday night, to say that Trump was going to be the winner of that event.
Well, you know, Paul, I'll be honest with you. I was going in between the Buffalo game and after that, the Tampa Bay game.
Okay.
And I did watch it, but at this point, the football was more important to me because I knew what was going to happen in Iowa.
Why? And it did. I mean, speaking about Tampa Bay, they did about the same thing to Philadelphia that Donald Trump did to Ron DeSantis,
right.
Nikki Haley, and Vivek.
That's right. Buffalo did the same thing, too. Boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
It was phenomenal. That was my home team, you know.
Yeah, that's right, because you come from Rochester.
That's right.
That's not far from Buffalo at all.
That's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was watching Ramaswamy last night endorse Trump. I thought that was pretty. You know, I got to give Ramaswamy credit. The guy's pretty slick, you know.
I think he is. He's very intelligent, and he speaks. He's quite eloquent.
There's no question about it.
I do think he is vying for some sort of a position within the Trump administration. And here's what Trump had to say about it, by the way, after Ramaswamy endorsed him. Quote, he's going to be working with us, and he'll be working with us for a long time. So I think that made Vivek very happy.
Yep. There's no question. Yeah, but, you know, now you got... Nikki Haley, Trump's got to debate. And if I don't debate him, I'll guarantee you Biden will be the next. She needs to go away. I just think it's time. Let's just stand behind Trump and let's get this thing done.
That's what
the people want. So they're seeing it.
Now, Andrew, you are good friends with the Ron DeSantis family. What about Ron? He came in second, but it was a distant second, about 30 points below Donald Trump. He bested Nikki Haley by about 2 points. But where's his path to victory now?
Paul, he's just got to keep plugging it. His path to victory is the country keep falling apart the way it is.
I'm talking about Ron DeSantis. Do you think he had?
Oh, okay.
Now that he threw everything, including the kitchen sink, Ron DeSantis, into the Iowa caucus, he came in second, but he came in about 30 points, almost 30 points.
Paul, face to face, Donald Trump made a record. I mean, the highest separation was, I think, 1984 or something, Bob Dole. And he was an 18 or 13 point spread between him and the next person. Trump made history at 30
points. Trump blew out that record.
That's what I'm saying, and that, you know, that's a sign of what's to happen. So instead of fighting each other, they need to go behind him, stay behind him, get through all this trial baloney, and let's get the job done. Now is the time. People are fed up. We don't need to hear you guys fighting among each other.
So
they spent $126 million in Iowa between Ron and Nikki Haley, $126 million.
Yeah, that's even more than you make.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd like to have 1% of that.
I'll tell you. So, on another topic, but it has to do with politics, I think, federal prosecutors claim a brown leather pouch used by Hunter Biden to store a gun had some white powder on it. And it wasn't cake topping, okay?
Maybe chafing powder?
I don't think so. Yesterday, they asked a judge to reject Hunter's efforts to dismiss gun charges because of the white powder, saying the strength of evidence against him is overwhelming, and they rejecting Hunter's claims he was being singled out for political reasons. So I don't think that's having cocaine dust on a gun pouch, you know, that's not a good idea. I don't think that works out.
It doesn't matter. It's Hunter, so don't worry about it.
Oh, all right.
It's expected.
I see.
It's expected.
So, I mean, this guy is a walking troublemaker no matter where he goes, you know. I guess his so-called slick lawyer is now saying, okay, we will testify behind closed doors. All right, we'll testify behind closed, rather than demanding that it be public testimony.
Well, you know, everything that's going on now is distraction. We're not. What are we hearing about what's going on with any of these wars?
Yeah, I got one. And
okay.
I think this is really dangerous, and I wonder if the consequences of this. But listen to this, Andrew. I want to get your comment. Pakistan is going after Iran, condemning them, and warning of consequences after Tehran launched airstrikes into Pakistan.
Oh.
It killed two children. Now, Pakistan has
nukes.
Has nukes. And I'll tell you what, they're not quite as controlled, I would suggest, as other countries with nuclear weapons. Pakistan's foreign ministry said it angrily denounces the attack, and they summoned their diplomat in Iran to convey our strongest condemnation of this blatant violation of Pakistan's sovereignty. It says here, the responsibility for the consequences will be squarely with Iran. Iran claimed the strike just across the Iran-Pakistan border was targeting bases for a militant separatist group inside of Pakistan. They said instead the attack left a 6-year-old girl and an 11-month-old boy dead, and 3 women were also injured. This is getting very dangerous. Iran, you know, with what they're doing behind the Houthis, and now, you know, doing this kind of thing, they are trading in very dangerous waters.
Paul, the best thing that could happen there is they fight each other.
You think?
The best thing, to let the Middle East fight each other and see you later. Let them destroy each other.
Well, you don't want them lobbing nuclear bombs back and forth, do you?
As long as they stay over there.
Well, it's hard to stay over there when you start launching nuclear bombs, because you start killing people you don't intend to kill.
Well, I understand that, but this has been going on for 5,000 years that we know of. I mean, there's been nothing but war in the Middle East for these years. All these years, you can't expect nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's part of life nowadays, isn't it?
I'm afraid we're just getting closer and closer to something really, really bad.
No, there's no listen. It's like I've been saying. You got the administration that's in there this week. If Donald Trump was president, I really don't believe you would have seen any of this going on.
No, I think you might be right.
I'm sorry.
Iran has got to realize that not every country has a Joe Biden running it. And I think they're getting a little too big for their britches, because, you know, because they're getting away with a lot of...
They are getting away with a lot.
They're thinking that the rest of the planet fears them. Well, places like India, Pakistan, they don't play.
Yeah. We need to maybe make a bigger dent in our response to what Iran is doing right now to us. Especially there in the shipping lanes, around the Red Sea and the Suez Canal, Paul, all that kind of thing.
That would be nice if our military wasn't cut in half and went woke.
I know.
Okay, we don't have the strength we had when Donald Trump was president.
You're right.
They left 3/4 of our military equipment in Afghanistan.
You're right.
I mean, we're weak, Paul. We can't we can't control wars on 3 different fronts. We don't have it.
I don't remember the last time Joe Biden has taken any questions in public. Maybe several days ago when he was wandering around some store. And by the way, he looked like he didn't know where he was. If you watch him,
he had this blank look
in his eyes. As where the hell am I? And he's wandering around aimlessly in this place.
That happens every day.
Who's running the store?
We already know that.
I gotta show you a video. It has to be off air because of the language. But you remember when Biden was down on my island in St. Croix over the holidays, and I told you he came out of the restaurant. He didn't get a very friendly greeting. And first they were yelling, "Let's go, Brandon." And, of course, he just kind of smiled and wandered toward them like, you know, they were cheering him on.
These are my friends.
Until it was replaced with F Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other things. And then Dr. Jill, of course, pulled him back, said, "Those aren't your friends."
Yeah, right.
You know, I thought she'll let you know.
You know,
it's part of life, Paul. It's part of life every day. He's not going to surprise you.
He's getting worse.
Expected. There's no question
worse.
About it. He's not going to get any better.
So you're buying into the fact that he might not be the candidate in November?
No, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way, Paul.
Yeah.
You know,
There's
going to be an independent, and there's going to pull people away from everybody.
You still think?
Manchin's talking about it,
and then
you got Robert Kennedy talking. But
yeah.
I think Robert Kennedy blew his chance when he said he's for reparations one time.
Yeah,
so.
It might be. You had the thought that even Michelle Obama might be considered at one point.
Those are the rumors, Paul. Those are the rumors.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's not going to go nowhere. Let's be real. I think Trump's going to steamroll this. If people know that we need Trump to get this thing back. And you know what? We just need to pray to God that he has the energy and the health to do it for 4 years.
I think I know who's going to be Trump's vice presidential running mate.
I said it a year ago, and you know that. I said Kristi Noem.
I agree.
Because she will get the suburban housewives.
I think Kristi Noem will also. I totally agree with you. See, I was going to make a bet with you, but now I can't because you also agree with me that it's going to be Kristi Noem.
Yeah, I think that'd be the best movie could make.
I think it might be the best movie could make as well. I agree with you.
The country's got to have this happen, man. There's no question about it. If not, let me tell you, if the Democrats get in power 4 more years, we're finished.
I think I just can't fathom them winning at this point. I just pray that does not happen. It is always a pleasure, Andrew. I'm going to be seeing you in a little bit. It's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much, my friend.
You happy? Be good. Talk to you guys later.
All right, sir. There he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, John Kerry snaps at a reporter when confronted about his own carbon footprint.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we are delighted when you can listen to us live. But if you cannot, you're busy, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us anytime by going to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Click on the podcast button. And Ed's got all our shows. You'll see the most recent show right at the front, at the top, and you'll see who the guest is and the topic with the guest. And you'll also see our top 10. Bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay. So, our buddy John Kerry, the so-called climate czar in the Biden administration, gave a fiery response when confronted yesterday about his carbon footprint. While in Davos, Switzerland, he was there to attend the annual World Economic Forum. So an Australian reporter asked him, "What's the carbon footprint of these events every single year that you come here? Do you think it's worth it? Peasants paying for your crimes." So Kerry said, "That's a stupid question." Then he was asked a follow-up question about why his carbon footprint didn't matter. And Kerry snapped, "Nobody ever suggested that. Don't make up stupid questions."
Isn't this the guy that said, "I don't own a private jet, my wife does"?
Yeah, there you go. He has received criticism for his carbon footprint, including his past use of a private jet owned by his family. According to flight tracking data, in July 2022, a Gulfstream, I guess it's a GIV-SP jet, owned by Kerry's family, made a total of 48 trips that lasted more than 60 hours and emitted an estimated 716,000 pounds or 325 metric tons of carbon over the course of the Biden administration's first 18 months.
You know what you can do? And I've found this. If you go to some of the richer or higher upper end neighborhoods with these fancy homes, and then you got politicians like Kerry and people like that who are pushing green energy. Go to Google Earth and find out where he lives and look at his house. You won't see one solar panel on there.
Yeah. No, they're hypocrites. Do as I say, not as I do.
Because those people think they're ugly, and they won't put them on their homes.
Right.
But if you go like to Bel Air and homes like that, there are very few homes that have any kind of renewable energy.
That's right.
But it's the same with politicians.
Oh, yeah.
You look on Google Earth, and you won't find one solar panel.
They're never close to them. Remember the Barbara Streisand? She was all upset about those windmills nearby.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it's like. By the way, Kerry may step down from his climate czar role to help run the Biden administration's presidential efforts. Mm. That'll be a great idea.
Yeah, that's a kiss of death
there.
There
you go, right? Right you are.
Yeah, go help him.
So, is there anything in the sports world that we need to know before
it's a big game that we missed, you know? Because, you know, the show is Monday, and then
Bucks
played Monday night.
That's right. They did win.
We didn't think they'd win, but
they won.
Yeah.
They won.
And, you know what?
They eliminated the Philadelphia Eagles.
When you brought up stupid questions by reporters, it happens in the sports world, too. Yesterday, head coach Todd Bowles of the Buccaneers was asked by a reporter, doesn't matter, man or woman, doesn't matter, asked the question, with all this heavy snow that's going around in the upper northeast, are you worried about how it's going to affect the game on Sunday with the Detroit Lions? And he paused and he said, well, not really, because
we're playing here.
We play indoors.
Oh, and they're playing in Detroit indoors. Yeah, you're right about that.
It's a dome.
That's
so
right.
The few seconds it takes getting from the bus to the dome,
we'll try to make it.
We should be all right.
That sounds
stupid.
Good.
Out the
that's
door.
Funny. All right. Time for our top 10. We got a good one. Top 10 states gaining people in 2023. Let's go. Number 10. By the way, the Census Bureau brought us this, okay? The number 10 state is Utah, believe it or not. They gained about 36,500 people. They went from about 3,000,004 to about 3,000,004.5, okay? Number 9, Colorado. Colorado gained about 37,000 people. They went from about 8.7 to 8.7.5 million people. All right. Number seven is Arizona. They gained about 65,600 people, going from about 7.3 million to 7.4 million. Number six, Tennessee. You know, a lot of people move to Tennessee now. There's no tax there, by the way. They gained about 77,500 people, going from about 7 million to 7.1 million. Number five, South Carolina. Yeah, Nikki Haley's state. They gained about 91,000 people, from about 5.3 to 5.4 million people there. Number four, Georgia. Not surprising. They gained about 116,000. They went from about 10.9 million to 11 plus million people. Number three, another state where a lot of people from Florida will move to eventually, North Carolina. Mm. North Carolina gained 139,500 people. They went from about 10.7 million to 10.8 million. Number two, well, I'm not surprised. Number two is Florida. Mm. Florida gained 365,000 people. That's a lot of people in 1 year, is it not? Mm. They went from about 22.2 million to 22.6 million people. All right, Ed. Who do you think's number one?
Well, I would have thought it would have been Florida, so I'm out. I don't know.
Well, that's all right. You have another chance.
Or North Carolina would have been the other one.
All right. You want to guess somebody else?
No.
No kidding. You don't want to guess. No. I'm surprised. All right. It's Texas.
All right, yeah.
Texas gained 473,400 people.
Those are documented people, by the way.
Yeah, these are the documented people. They went from about 30 million plus to about 30.5 million.
Mm.
So there you go. All right. We will be back on Friday. Hopefully it'll be a little warmer around here. In the meantime, drive carefully and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Steve Kathan. Health issues for Britain's royal family. There's word King Charles has an enlarged prostate and will have a hospital treatment procedure next week. And Kate, the Princess of Wales, will be